rest of us, didn't he? He loved us where we were. Loved us where we were. So we're going to do that. If you have that opportunity, it's only about an hour and a half, a couple hours of your time. And we just usually serve food. We're glad
for it. So to simplify, how many of you like me, you like when things are simplified? Simplified. I said last week that anybody, it's not difficult to make something complicated. It's not difficult to make something complicated. But it takes a lot of effort to simplify. I told you if I had the choice between verbal instructions, written instructions, or photos, pictures, I'll choose pictures any day of the week, amen? You'll just show me. We even asked you last week, surveyed, how many of you, if you have a problem now and your access to a smartphone or something like that, you'll go ahead and you'll look up a video, right? You'll watch that and see how it is, and you hope that they're telling the truth, right, about some things, and that worked out okay. I was watching a video. I think I'll tell you this. We'll read the scripture. Some years ago, I had a problem with a laptop, and I was trying to save some money. Anybody ever spent more money than you should have trying to save something, trying to do it yourself? Anybody besides me, you did it twice, three times, end up paying somebody, except for Jason. Jason will figure it out or die. I knew that about him. But anyway, and so I'm doing this, and it's there. I got a disassembled screen, all this kind of deal. Everybody with me here? I got lots of parts. I got lots of little EB screws. And all of a sudden, the video kind of jumps. And the guy says, and that's how you do it. And I went, oh. I have followed this guy's instructions to the letter. Now, it's my fault for not watching the video through the first time. I got that. But anyway, I got this pile of stuff here, and I'm panicking. And so I have to end up watching about four or five videos to get it good enough shape to take it to the repair shop. And I wasn't about to tell the guy what's going on here. I think that's true in a lot of our lives. We get a little bit of this or a little bit of that, or we overcomplicate things, or we add a little bit of our opinion. We add a little bit of the other. I think scriptural things, moral things, ethical things. It's one of the only deals. We will look up how to strip wallpaper off a wall, and we'll read five articles and go to Google and Yahoo. We'll ask people. We'll do all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to life and death matters, when it comes to matters about things that give us real joy, we'll use words like, well, I think, or I feel. We're just crazy about this kind of thing, right? Things that really matter in life. And I suggest to you that the Bible gives us exactly what we need to live and to have joy. And the Bible can simplify what you may or may not think is complicated. And I want to help us today. The subject today is discipleship. And I'm going to give you some great things here from the Scripture. It's John chapter 15. We're going to read several verses. It'll be the last time you stand for a while this morning. If you could help us as we honor God and His Word. John 15, look at verse number 1. Familiar to some of you that are around church, the Bible says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Some of us, with the abundance now of the wineries and the vineyards, as they have exploded, figuring out that the soil in parts of Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina is conducive to certain kind of grapes. What was a mysterious subject to some is now common knowledge as we understand the process of growing grapes or anything like that, an olive or something. And he says, I am, he's talking about him being God. He said, I am the true source of all life, and my Father is the one who tends to it. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He starts off very black and white, very simple. If you say that you're plugged into me, but there's no evidence of that, I'm telling you, you have disaster ahead of you. There is no such animal as a disciple, a follower of Christ, who does not evidence life. Spiritual life. You can say whatever you want, but that is, he has a destination plan for that. And he says to those of you who are part of the vine, who are plugged in, I'm going to do some things to you to make sure that you keep bearing fruit. I'm going to cut away some branches. I'm going to trim some things up. I'm going to do some things that may be painful to you, but they'll bring forth more fruit and more life. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. We'll come back to that. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. We'll just pause there. Verse 4, abide in me. I want to talk about that idea of abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, and see what God has for us this morning. Pray with me one last time. Father, speak to our hearts. I pray from every aisle. from every person, from every row, from every chair, that you would just be honored and glorified. Lord, we love you. I thank you for loving us. Be with us now. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. This is the burden of my heart. I pray I'd preach your word with power. I pray you'd help us to understand and to apply. Lord, we love you, and I need you this morning. I pray you'd use me in Christ's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. When we talk about vines and vineyards and grafting and all that kind of stuff, some of you grew up remotely on a farm. How many of you grew up around a farm or a big garden or anything like that? Thank you, my brother. Anybody grew up around a farm or garden? A few of you. How many of you, the closest you get to a garden or a farm is the produce aisle at a grocery store. How many of you, if it's green, you let it lie and you don't really care about weeds and all? Anybody like that? You're just happy to have something green? How many of you don't know what grass is? I'm just getting a little feel here for everybody. That's the stuff outside. By the way, if you want to know how to grow grass, you just talk to one of us. We got grass everywhere. Amen. And I know all the teenagers in here are chuckling because that's a euphemism for a drug. Sorry about that. So we're here. We talk about this. When I say vines and vineyards and life and all this, a lot of you are going, uh-oh, it's going to be one of those messages. it's going to be one of those things where everything hinges on my understanding of this concept. So I want to help you a little bit. It's not that far out of the way, and we'll talk about it. If I brought up a water hose here, and I started to do that, if I brave your water hose and said, you're going to get water out of this, how many of you go, preacher, you're just a little slow this morning, right? There's no way to get water out of the water hose unless you do what to it? Somebody help me here. You got to plug it into a light socket. You got to plug it into. You got to hook some water up to it somewhere, right? Hook some water up to it. Everybody with me? Does everybody agree with that? Everybody think that's okay? I know we're in a divided world, divided country, red states, blue states, but everybody can agree on that, right? Everybody agree on that? What if I told you here? What if I told you? And boy, it's so good to see. Jacob Massey here today. Amen. So good to see Jacob. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. And if I said, okay, Jacob, I'm going to give you unlimited power here. How's that sound? Yeah, and this is all you need. And Tanya might say, you're going to have to find an outlet somewhere. How many of you think this is very helpful, but you're going to have to find an outlet? Anybody else beside me? I mean, a few of you? Some of you are not going to nod no matter what I say, right? Free money's good, hot cinnamon rolls, you know, y'all just a contrary people this morning. So when we talk about this, when we talk about Jesus saying, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and you only have life and health and vitality in me. Let me help you a little better. If I take this branch off here, this beautiful bamboo, and a beautiful bush. If I take and strip a branch off of this, then I'm what? Is that branch going to continue to grow? Some of you that don't know anything about agriculture, is that branch going to continue to grow? It's going to die, isn't it? It's going to absolutely, positively die. I have a dear friend, his wife, and this is not a preacher's story. This has really happened. This really happened, Logan. And she worked at a Christian school, a large place, and she was there, and she noticed that the housekeeping staff, doesn't that just sound good, housekeeping staff? How many of you like to have housekeeping staff at home? How many of you are the housekeeping staff at home? And so they're going by the housekeeping, and she noticed they kept skipping this plant. And she thought, well, they just noticed it. Instead of making a scene, instead of calling attention to it, she just, well, I'll take care of the plant. And so she would go to the bathroom, get a cup of water, and do this, and she would fluff it up and all. And she noticed, fall and winter and in the spring that it didn't get any bigger and it didn't have any leaves fall off of it. So she thought it may need some more water until finally, and she tells the story a little differently now, but I think she went and got either some spikes, plant food spikes, or she got some, she was going to repot it or whatever. But at that point, as she began to pull it up, she realized it had a different touch than other plants, because it was plastic, amen. and she had spent the better part of 7 months watering, tending, talking to, no telling how much water she had put on a plastic plant, amen. And at that point, she understood why the housekeeping staff didn't pay any attention to it. Can I get an amen there? Because it wasn't real. And we have this set up for us here about following Christ, and he's going to use this idea of a vine and a branches. And I want to help you with that this morning. I want to help you. You're in John chapter 15. If you have your bulletin, you can write some notes on the back here. Bill Hull says that biblical discipleship involves being delivered from sin and transformed into mature believers. And I hate that's so small here. It's usually a lot bigger. Biblical discipleship. I'll have that line online for you if you want to take some better notes in just a little bit. Biblical discipleship involves being delivered from sin and transformed into mature believers. If you have, say, that you know Christ, but you've not grown spiritually, you are an abnormal, at best, believer. If sin is still normal for you instead of the out of the ordinary, if it is still, if all those things, if the only things change is your label and not your life, I suggest to you, you've never been born again. Because biblical discipleship means when I'm delivered from my sin that I am beginning to be a mature believer. How many of you think the church in the United States is dying for mature believers? I don't mean old believers. I mean mature believers. Ones that are full of life. Ones that are connected to Christ. Ones that are doing what he says here, abiding in him. See, following Jesus ought to be natural. Following Jesus ought to be natural. So he gives us a command, and then I want to work out the command. I got a few minutes here. Can you hang with me for a second? Am I loud enough? Am I okay? Is everybody hearing me okay? Nod your head with me. All right, so he gives a command, and it's an old English kind of idea, and I want to break it out into 2017 and really help us. He gives us a command. He says, if you want to be a real disciple, if you want to follow me, if you've ever wondered what does it mean to follow Christ or what does it mean to keep following Christ, I'm going to help you. He says, abide in me. To abide in Christ means that I'm going to remain or stay connected to Christ. I abide in my relationship in him. If I'm going to abide in Christ, that word minnow there, it's used about 11 times in John's gospel there. It means to continue. We use the same expression. If I say Dallas and Brenda have remained married for 49 years, everybody gets the fact that what? They have stayed together. They have continued in their marriage vows. Nod your head if that makes some sense too. If I say you can take this and you can just walk around and get electricity anywhere you want to, no, you got to be plugged in somewhere. And if you plug an accessory into this, it's got to stay connected too, doesn't it? Connected to. You ever had the project where you didn't have enough extension cord and you just kept stretching it? You ever been vacuuming or something or using your steam mop and all of a sudden you hear, whoop. You go, oh man, it's unplugged. If you got kids at home, that's their job, right? Don't plug it back in because you got to remain connected. We're talking about abiding in Christ. We're talking about remaining connected in Him. So what does that look like? Glad you asked. He gives us a few ideas here. He says, first of all, continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. I want you to see all these passages. If you underline right in your Bible, look at verse 3. It says, now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken to you. Verse 2, he says, if I need to, and the word there is where we get catharized from or cathartic. He said, if I need to, I'm going to trim some branches. If I need to, I'm going to lop off the top. I'm going to do what is necessary to you for you to be all that you should be as my follower. Let me help you. We're not mean to the strawberries or the peaches when we trim those back. We're not mean to the butter beans. We're not mean to the pecan trees. We're not being mean. We understand that's how you produce life. And all that dead stuff and all that stuff that doesn't belong is hurtful. For all those years, my stepfather, he tended to fruit trees and to pecan trees. He said he checked for disease and he checked for blight and he checked for worms. He said anything that was harmful to the tree, he would excise and would not think about it. He would get a big pile of wood that he would cut from all these things and he would burn it and he'd say, this is for the life of the tree. It's for the life of the plant. He says one of the things you can count on is that God's Word will clean you and will help you get away from things and take things away from you that don't belong. Look at verse 7. If you had known, verse number 7 in chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words in you,
You shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. He connects prayer to your exposure to the Scripture. He connects prayer to your exposure to the Scripture. See, when I am close to Jesus and I have His Word in me, His Word in me. How many of you have a living parents? You may have living parents. A few of you. How many of you've said something and their words came out of your mouth? You remember how shocking that was first time? Because you said, I won't ever do that. I won't ever think that way. I won't ever talk that way. And all of a sudden you said, he went, I'm my mother. I'm my father. Some of you raised by grandparents or step-parents or aunts or uncles, and you catch yourself saying those words, don't you? And you say it. You say it. Some of you now wear it as a badge of honor. Well, my mom used to say, my grandmother used to say, and you kind of put it out there. We've got it. It's been so ingrained in us that we begin to not only listen, but we begin to live by them. See, I don't think you ever are all you can be as a disciple till you begin to put God's word in and live it. He keeps going. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, abide my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. The word, verse 3, His words, verse 7, His commandments, verse 10, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. I run into, 3 years we've been here, I've run into dozens of people and they're upset with God. Not because they're living for God. Not because they're obeying God. But they think that God owes them something. And they don't live by the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't go to church like they ought to. They don't take the Bible in. They don't do any of those things. But they think God owes them all this and a bag of chips. And they're really upset. And God said, that's not how I've set it up. I haven't set it up for you to have life outside of me and outside of my word. I've set it up for you to have great and marvelous and amazing life in me. And in my word, if you would remain in my word, then you would have joy. You'd have joy. Folks, man, we're on benders last night. Some started drinking before the game. All the volunteer fans were tempted to drink after the game. Just teasing. And my team won. We're 1-3. We beat a girls' school that was in wheelchairs. And so we're feeling really good about ourselves today. I'm teasing. Teasing, it wasn't that bad, but I was almost a high school team, but we whooped them. We only let a high school team score 24 on us, and thank the Lord. So I thought the volunteers had won. I checked the TV last night, and I'm really sorry. But it'll be okay because it's all right. Amen. New game. Some of you are like, I don't pull for volunteers. I'm happy. Good for you. The rest of us are sad here. It says, if you do these things, your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to stick in the Bible. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows, there's the word, what his Lord does. Verse 17, these things I command you. You cannot be all that you ought to be for Jesus if you are not in the Bible. If you're not in the Bible. And you can't really claim to be his disciple if you have no hunger and no thirst for the Bible. Let me help you. Mitchell's had a grandbaby, Abigail. If on Tuesday you found out their granddaughter malnourished outside, if a picture floated on social media, the baby screaming, or the video, the baby screaming its head off, bottles of milk lined up, and mom and dad sitting there eating a gourmet meal while the baby was unfed and hadn't been fed, they'd about everybody in here be mad as they could be, wouldn't they? Not suggesting for a moment they'd do that. That baby needs nourishment. Everybody in this room gets it. Everybody in this room feels like it's a violation for someone to be unfed when it's easy enough to get them fed. Nod your head if you're still with me here. Let me help you. There's a lot of folks, maybe some folks I'm looking at right now, you walk around unfed. You dust off a Bible. You open up an app once a week maybe. You come in here to follow along. Then you put it back up. And you wonder why you spiritually are no better off than you were last month or last year or 2 years ago. and you're just limping along on life support, getting a little snack from the preacher once in a while, and you're going through that. The Bible says that's not how it is. It's not how it is. It's as foolish as thinking that a water hose will give me water, or I can walk around with both ends of this, not plugged in anything, I can get all the electricity. You need to remain in the Bible. Remain in the Bible. Continue in my word. Continue in my word. How can I do that? Let me give you a couple of real practical things here. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Number, you ought to get the word of God from parents, and grandparents, and step-parents. See what I mean? Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible is clear there. What? That we are to teach our children. When they're up, when they're down, when they're inside, when they're outside, all these things. We call it the Deuteronomy 6 principle. It goes through all our teen classes, our junior classes. It goes through all our adult classes. We follow this principle. Some of you that are in the Bible study, you get the paper, and it's something you can talk about every day of the week with the young people here. Mom and Dad, I want to remind you, and Grandma and Grandpa, and Stepmom and Stepdad, I want to remind you, God will one day hold you accountable for the spiritual training you gave your children. You want to scare the preacher? You want to scare the preacher? Don't scare me about the church. You scare me about being a dad. Say they can't listen. Is there anything more ubiquitous than a young person with two wires sticking out of their ear? Is there anything more common than a young person watching dumb video after dumb video after dumb video? If they can be an expert on Minecraft and they know where all the hidey holes are in Assassin's Creed, if they know where all the power-ups are in Mario Land, let me help you. They can learn some Bible. And when Katy Perry's off the scene and somebody new's there, when everybody figures out Taylor Swift sings with an auto-tuner, they'll be left with a whole big bag of nothing. But whatever you give them from the Scripture will change their life. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, Stepmom and Stepdad, let me help you. Making our kids comfortable is a nice goal. We ought to be trying to make sure that they are Christians and then educating their heart. Mom and Dad, how can I remain in the Word? Parents ought to help you remain in the Word. Number two, you ought to get something at church. You ought to get something at church. We call it Sunday school, but really it's adult Bible classes, teen Bible classes. We have that. We have some stuff on Sunday night or connection groups. We have an in-depth Bible study on Wednesday night. We do this and do this and do this. Why? Because the Bible says, remain in the Word, remain in me. It's important. It's important. We started a little book stand ministry. We're going to put some great things out there. We want you to have them and get them so you can ingest the Word of God. But one of the great places you can do that is here. It's here. But it can't be the only place. It's like going to a buffet once a week. You get real full and it might make you to Monday afternoon. But by Tuesday, you're really hungry. By Wednesday, you're starving. You have to take it in. You have to take it in. Let me give you a little time out. This is for free here. People say, I don't get this and don't get that and don't get the other. Don't do all these things. Look right at me. Look right at me. You come, you don't listen. If you don't listen, there's no way I'm real interesting. You come, you don't listen. You don't come. This is my personal favorite right now. They don't come. They don't come at all. And then they're worried, that church doesn't love me. What do you mean don't love you? We can't get you in the door. Amen? By the way, life happens. I'm not that strict. I got it. When you choose to divorce yourself from the preached Word of God and what the man of God has studied and what the man of God has prepared and prayed over, then you're missing some things that help you abide in Christ. You ought to get it from parents. You ought to get it from church. You ought to get it your own self. I call it daily quiet time, daily devotional time. Whether you do that on an app, whether you do that with a plan, whether you do that with one of the books we've given you, However you do that, man, there's a time that you are alone with the Bible, alone with the Bible. You work second shift. It might be 12 o'clock at night. You work third shift. It might be 3 in the morning. You get up early. Whatever you got to do. I knew people, man, they had to be at the plant to make bread 5 a.m. They were up at 4 a.m. talking to God. Some other folks that couldn't do that, man, they'd open up their lunch and they'd eat their bologna sandwich and they'd spread out their Bible there at the plant and they'd read God's Word. You know what? They were healthy. There was life in them. You need a quiet time. You can get it emailed to you. You can get it auto-delivered. You can get it texted to you. If you don't know where to start, I'm not scolding you. I want to help you. My brother hates when I tell this story. We were a good bit younger and better looking. How many of you remember when you were better looking? A lot of teenagers raised their hands. Life's tough, apparently. How many of you remember when you're younger and better looking? How many of you think you're better looking now? How many of you need a mirror? Okay. I still hate going to the dentist. I'm sorry. If you work at a dentist, I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me. I just don't like it. Anybody that smiles at me and then hits me with a drill, I got issues. But anyway, I go to the dentist, I get a cavity. They didn't give me a cavity. I'd have a cavity to go to the dentist. And we got to do, it's awful. It's awful. I'd walk out, my jaw like. My brother go to the dentist, they give him a lollipop. Go figure. And they'd say, man, you're doing a great job. I knew my brother wasn't doing what he's supposed to. But apparently, no matter what I did, it didn't matter. I'd go one or two cavities. Mom fuss at me. Dad fuss at me. Mark go, no cavities. Till about seventh grade. For the first time in my life, I went to the dentist. And he said, you don't have any cavities. I'm thinking I didn't have any more teeth to fill, to be honest. But that's beside the point. And my brother, who didn't brush like he should, and who had never seen dental floss. The dentist comes out to my mother and says, well, your youngest son has not one, not two. He's got 9 cavities. I got to be the only person in America who was going, yes, and dancing and high-fiving people at the dentist office. I was so happy. And then the dentist made my day complete. He said, it's so bad, we're going to have to gas him. I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded awful. And we'll have to do it in 2 different visits because it's so many cavities. And I walked out because I had none. And my brother had 9. And they were going to gas him. And I didn't know what that meant. But it was great. And all the way home, for the first time in my life, I heard the speech normally given to me, given to my brother. Do you brush your teeth? Do you floss? What's floss? And you know how much it's cost. You should be doing a 10-cent worth of toothpaste. And man, and got up there, and they gassed him, and it made him loopy. And when he came out, he just, man, it was great. It was the days before cell phone cameras and all that. He went back again. He was even goofier the next time and all. You know what my brother did? Next, he survived. He's in there. He had 9 cavities. You know what he's doing in the morning? You know what he's doing at night? You know what my mom and dad were really interested in? His dental hygiene. He'd been every dentist I'd been to. He'd been every visit I'd been to. Brush and floss, brush and floss, brush and floss, brush and floss. Here's what some of you heard when I said daily devotional time. Read your Bible. Brush and floss, brush and floss, brush and floss, brush and floss. If we got real honest, the reason we have trouble following Jesus is because we're not really interested in the Word. Brush and floss, brush and floss, brush and floss. Eat less fat, exercise, drink more water. It's just white noise to us. Until marriage blows up, kids get out of hand, everything starts falling apart, crisis of faith. And now we're doing what? We're trying to undo in a moment what we've been messing up for years. The best thing you could do is say, I'm going to be in God's Word every day. If it's just a verse. Say, I want to make sure my kids have good dental hygiene. Wonderful. Wonderful. They'd be better off going to the dentist like my brother did for an extended period of time, but they walk with God and they've got God's word in their heart. The habits that they develop now will go with them for a lifetime. They are who they are and who they are becoming. He gives a couple more ideas here, and I'm going to have to stop. He says, make sure that you continue in the word. Make sure that you continue to be pruned. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit is taken away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He gives two ideas here. One he talks about chastening, the other he talks about correction. To those who do not and are not part of him, you understand there's going to be a gathering time where he's going to in judgment throw all those things that maybe look like they belong to him but were not belonging to him, and there's an awful thing, and he uses a picture of fire. Then he uses the idea of correction. God's correction, by the way, is painful. I've said for years, I thank God he did not answer all my prayers the way I wanted to. I believe some folks have been put flat on their back. They've been put flat on their back so God could get their attention. The best friend you've got, somebody like me, trying to tell you from this book what's really important. God will get your attention through a lost job, through a broken relationship. He'll get you through big cancer word. He'll get your attention through medical problems. He'll get your attention through life circumstances. You're better off listening to God's whisper and God having to get your attention with a shout. Continue to be pruned. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. He says what? He says, if you abide in him, you will ask what you will. Verse 7, it will be done unto you. When I am in God's word and I am close to Jesus, then all of a sudden I'm praying the things that I ought to pray. I'm communicating the way that I ought to communicate. My desires are his desires. We took my mom trip with us the other day. And the kids wanted to go eat Mexican food. How many of you like good Mexican food? We were going to this Mexican place. I pulled over there, and my mom says, we're not stopping here, are we? I said, well, we are. I don't know what you're doing. And I said, we're going to stop here. And she said, I can't eat that. And I heard the children in the back going, go ahead, Dad. Go ahead, Dad. And I said, well, Mom, you know. She said, isn't there somewhere else we can eat? Well, sure. We can eat at a gas station, you know. They got those hot dogs on the rollers. You know, we can eat anywhere. And so we were there. We got back to the hotel. She looked at me and said, you know I don't eat that stuff. And I said, we're just used to being together and we figure everybody likes what we like. Well, no. We had four that were on the same page. We had one that was not. Not a problem. Glad to honor Mom. No big deal. I haven't missed that many meals. I'm all right. When I'm in tune with him, I like what he likes. I want what he wants. It's a difference. The more you grow in Christ, the more I'm interested in you than I am in me. The more I'm interested in lost people coming to find the Savior than I am in my personal comfort. You want to take a good spiritual temperature. You figure out the things you prayed for this week. How many of them were about you and how many about others? How many of them had spiritual significance? How many of them were just an alleviation of pain? I have a friend, he's down in Florida helping the victims of the hurricanes out. He said it this way, I said it a few weeks ago. He said he was complaining to this older man. The guy put down his fork, looked at him and said, so you're telling me all of your problems in life could be solved with a check? Wilson said, I quote, "I put my fork down and I hung my head. Because I don't really have any problems. When I pray according to His will. I pray according to His word. Pray according to His word." He says to bear fruit. And let me be done. I'll just be done here. It says continue to bear fruit. Verse 2, go back and look at it if you've got your Bibles open there. It says, "Every branch in me that bears fruit, He takes not away, and every branch that bears fruit, He purges it." So that what? So that it may bring forth more fruit. God is interested in you growing in Him. Verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Verse 16, the Bible says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." God wants your life to be fruitful. He wants you to be internally fruitful, the fruit of the Spirit. There ought to be a change in your attitudes. He wants to change your actions. You ought to do the right thing. Nod your head if you think Christians ought to do the right thing. There's a behavioral change. There's an inward change. There's an evangelistic change. I'm interested in people confessing their sins and getting right with God. How many of you believe that the fruit of a Christian ought to be somewhere down the line another Christian? I'm interested in that. We'll have our community fun day October 21st. We're trying to have 400 or 500 people here. One of the things we're going to do is give them the gospel. Why? Because we want to see their life change as well. We want to see them grow in Christ. If you have people in your home, in your family, if you have people, where you work and in your neighborhood, and you know they don't know Christ, you're not sure they don't know Christ, one of the prayers of your life ought to be, "Lord, help me help them be saved." You go, that's their opinion and that's their choice and that's their decision. I don't want to be that cold. I don't want to not care. I don't know if I've ever said this from the pulpit here. I don't know who does it. I can get it in three. We keep those blinds open over there for two reasons. One, if I see a guy coming in with a machine gun, I'm hiding behind Roy. We keep them open so we see if anybody's coming in late. Not in a machine gun. I keep it open because I just see the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of cars go by while we're in here. And as happy as I am to see y'all, I'd really like for them to pull in. I'd really like to introduce them to the Savior. I'd really like to tell them God wants to change their life. Say, what's the purpose of your life? To bear fruit. Be more like Jesus. To act more like Jesus. And then to get people to Jesus. To bear fruit. 46. If I live to be next month, I'll be 47. I want to bear fruit. I want to be more like Jesus than I was last year. I want to act more like Jesus than I did last year. Look right here. I want to tell people about Jesus. And I want them to come to Him. See, what's all this about? This is all about a relationship. Stay plugged in. Stay close to Him. Remain with Him. Remain with Him. He said if you'd do this, He said you would walk in obedience. You'd love others. You would experience joy. You'd understand what it means to have your prayers answered. You would bring forth much fruit. Jesus says, "I am the vine. Abide in me." Water hose is no good without a source for the water. You can string along extension cords from here to Clinton. And if they're not plugged in any electricity, it won't do you any good. You come to a building like this, sit in a service like this, and walk out those doors there or in the back, and it make no difference in your life, If you've not become connected, entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, how to do that? Lord, I am sorry for my sins. There's nothing good I can do. I can't work my way into this relationship. And I believe that you have died for me and that you rose again. And I give you everything I've got. I give you all my past. I give you all my baggage. I give you all the junk and all the sin and all the heartache. And I want to live right. I want to do what's right. And I want you to change my life. I want to be part of what you're doing. I want you. And I believe that you want me. Jesus Christ says what? He says, and we rejoice that in due time Christ died for the ungodly. If he died for the best of us, we're all in a mess. I'm thankful he died for the worst of us. And can change any man, any woman, any boy, any girl from a sinner to a saint. He says, I want you to abide in me. Bow your heads, please, if you would. You've listened so well. I'll have all these notes online. Most of you like to record them. You weren't able to, I understand.